too.
Don't worry, I'll get Hope one. She'll get a clear bobcat shirt next time.
Yeah, I'm not from Montana, so sure.
So perfect.
My daughter's going to school there, so I have to.
You don't have to.
Well,
you could be split.
I'll root for them until they lose, and then I'll go with the Bobcats. At least it's a Montana team.
When they lose. That's right.
Yeah.
Go Tech.
All right. We'll open this regular city council meeting. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Approve our minutes from our last August 6th regular city council meeting.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion to approve the regular city council meeting minutes from October 6th.
Motion has been made to approve meetings minutes from our last meeting.
I second that motion.
Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Fiscal year first quarter budget report. Hope.
We normally don't approve it, but I just wanted to present it and answer any questions you might have.
Yes.
I would have one question on the first page of the expenditure report under the 410 bike 50 accounting under purchase services. Do you foresee any other purchase services this fiscal year?
Purchase or professional? The one that's negative?
Mm-hmm. So
Was the annual financial report. And I upped it a little bit, but it was even more than I had anticipated. But no, that's the only thing that gets paid out of that.
Okay.
Line item.
I
these were just our quarterly totals on water, sewer, and solid waste that I gave you as well.
This is July 24, starts with.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
It should be 25,
it
right?
It should be 25.
Figured so.
Did I do that on all of them? No.
Did you?
No.
Yeah,
no.
I did.
Oh,
not
salt,
on solid waste.
Not on solid waste.
I did on water sewer. Yeah. So this is this year's.
Miscellaneous revenue of about $35,000. Is that the bulk waters have?
Yes, mostly. We still have about $11,000, I think, coming from that. That hasn't been paid yet.
Oh, okay.
So.
Is this county sheet the one that Republic calls county?
When the county trucks go through our transfer site.
Okay.
And then they haul it, and you know, it gets put in with our trash, and then they haul it, and so we're still losing money on it. We should be getting a credit of about $140 a ton, and we're only getting 120.
They just unilaterally decided to not pay us that other 20 a ton.
What's that?
They just unilaterally decided to not pay us that other $20 per ton.
That was, in our contract, we set the price at $120 a ton.
Oh.
So that's what they paid. We were only getting 80, and then when we got the new contract, was increased to 120, but it's still not enough. overall, the solid waste is covering itself, but if you break it down.
Short of the county.
To me, that almost seems like we're subsidizing Republic in their county collections.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be worth, I don't know, could we talk to Ryan and see if they would
amend the contract? Sure.
Okay. What do you think that should come from? I guess I could try.
Yep. That number's subject to change depending on the billings that are on the dump site. That 140 ton?
No, it's a set price that in our contract that Republic gives us for the county trash that's dumped into our transfer site, and then they haul it to Billings. So Republic agreed to give us 120 per ton for that. But it's not covering the cost.
Well, we talk to Ryan, see if we can amend it, make it 150 or 145. So we're not subsidizing or losing. Or yeah. Talk to the county. But yeah,
they're county customers, or they don't have anything to do with the county. So
that's true.
Okay.
I just kind of want to note here that on the water totals, without the bulk water sale, we would just be breaking even. There would be no additional funds. And we've been talking about any additional funds for infrastructure. We would have broke flat even if we didn't do the bulk water sales, and I think it's important to note that.
Thank you.
Public, any comments about any of this?
At least you're not losing on trash anymore.
What's that?
At least you're not losing significantly
right.
on trash
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, hey, Sam, how you doing?
Was
good. Hey, I'm just doing a few seconds.
Greg, was that last part that was discussed, we think we're subsidizing the stuff that's going through the scales. It's just county trash, not the pickup stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we're losing on the...
Well, that's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah. Yeah, we just did that contract this year, the new one, thinking, like you said, we went up from 80 to 120, thinking that would cover it, but it's a moving target, garbage.
Is that a one-year or three-year? I can't remember.
Contract?
Five.
Five-year? Five-year to 120?
No, there's a 2% increase each year on that, but
it still won't keep up.
That's the price we're paying that, though, that contract. So we have the ability to change our price at the scale that we're taking in from the public, from the county.
Well,
that's I don't know.
This is what they pick up in the county when they go around.
Oh, it's not it's the stuff comes
not
from the
okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
okay.
From the routes. Yeah.
So the really only way to do that would be if they would be agreeable to amend that and up that price, which I can't see why they wouldn't. But.
Well, they should be able to have the same numbers as to what they're billing us for and what we're paying to them.
Oh, they do. All right, next up, City Hall Engineered Report. It's set a date for a public hearing.
All right.
You want to take this, Leonard?
Yeah, sure. We had met, Drake and I met with Sam Hensler of Dynamic Engineering out of Billings, and he reviewed the current building and then also looked at Norm's building to give us kind of an assessment on those two structures. So, Sam, can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, yeah. If you wouldn't mind giving us your assessment of the existing City Hall building first, and what if you have some kind of recommendation or direction that we might be able to go from.
Sure. Yeah, so we take a look at the existing City Hall building there. The issues with the building are kind of compounding and will require some input from the building officials to make determinations on what can realistically be done with the building moving forward. But ultimately, the building is in a state of non-failure, is how we would describe it, meaning there's nothing that necessarily had to be done to correct the building, since it wasn't in any state of active structural failure, but the intended changes to it to make it ADA accessible, those all could have been made pretty easily without affecting the structure too much, and the governing code is the international existing building code for these sorts of modifications, and they give lots of leeway for adapting an old building to meet ADA code. However, the amount of work that's been done there now and some of the revisions that are desired are going to push it into an alteration and potentially into a repair phase of the IEDC, which is going to step up the amount of requirements that are necessary to be updated. So the IEDC essentially establishes what can be done with existing buildings that are going to be altered, that have been damaged, need to be repaired, they're going to have major use, and they more or less divide everything into either restoring the existing materials that were there without making any significant updates, or updating the layout to satisfy modern fire code, or updating essentially everything to satisfy modern codes, energy codes, fire codes, structural codes, all of that kind of thing. It depends on what level of threshold you exceed in the alterations to the building, the change of use, or the damage. Right now, the building's kind of in a weird spot because some material degradation was found, some lack of what would be considered modern construction techniques were absent, and that sounds like it spurred on a lot of activities of exploration. So a significant amount of the building has been excavated, a lot of the slab has been removed, a lot of the foundation has been cut into, and so the building as it stands now is in a state of potentially damage that needs to be repaired in the midst of a significant change or an alteration that's going to be either level 2 or level 3, or potentially seen as a change of use, but most likely just an alteration. And because it's a little nebulous at this point, we're going to need a building official to weigh in on how they're going to categorize it and what level of update they're going to require for the building. And depending on what level of update they need, if we have to update the structural components, that could turn into a pretty sizable project because the entire building is fully out of date for anything modern. You really wouldn't be able to achieve it without knocking it down and starting over. So that's why we really need building official to weigh in and tell us what their thoughts are on on where they're going to categorize the building. And I can make a case for either direction, either remove or replace as is, or a need to update it to satisfy modern code. So it's kind of in a weird halfway position, just given the amount of activity that's occurred, how much demolition has gone on, and how much the building has been affected, and what the potential changes are desired to be.
So I believe, well, the contractor is here actually who has been working on the project, and he has had conversations with the building official, and he could perhaps give us an update. So Colter, could you maybe tell us what was going on with that?
When I took her through it, she was level 3. All services had to be updated at the state it was at. That's what the other engineer recommended as well.
Did you hear that, Sam?
I did. So she's considering a level 3 alteration. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes. Update all the services, all the components, mechanical, electrical,
yep.
ADA.
Okay.
Whether
so
you keep whether you kept 20 feet of the building or 30 feet of the building.
Sure.
And we could reach out to Carrie again. She's easy to talk to. She's in town every week, so.
Okay. Yeah, I'd reached out to her a couple times and left some messages, but I didn't get any return calls. So, yes, I don't have any information from her side. But if they're leaning towards a level 3 alteration, then that definitely makes this more sizable project than what I imagine everyone was initially leaning towards or thinking this would be.
So, Sam, let me ask you, too, that the newer portion of the building, which is the back half of it, is a level 3 going to involve completely retrofitting the entirety of the building? Like, say we got rid of the front half and tried to keep the back half as a warehouse or something along that line. What's involved there, or is that going to require an extensive?
A level 3 would trigger an entire building update.
Okay.
And that's where I think a strong case could be made for a level 2 alteration. But if the building official is, like I said, this is kind of nebulous just given where it's at right now. So the building official is going to have the final say on what they're going to define it as. So if they're concrete on a level 3 alteration, then that means the entire building needs to be updated. If they're open to considering it level 2, then we could potentially just demolish that front half and then build whatever you want in its place.
So perhaps it's worth having a conversation with the building official, Sam, and talk to her. If we get to level 2, we can maybe save that back half.
Yeah.
Right.
And get rid of the part that's obvious. I don't know. In your conversations, I'm talking to Colter, in your conversations with Carrie, did she say anything about the back half that looks a little bit, it's obviously a little bit newer. Do we know when that structure was built, the back half of that building? Okay.
I think it would require, when I met with her, without doing any more investigation, we need to cut concrete in the outside of the building, see if it's sitting on a footing. You'd have to check the CMU, see if it's reinforced, which it didn't seem like it, but.
So, and this is where like it might help just to have some interaction. So at least in a lot of the service areas that we work in, there's not a lot of understanding of the IEDC. And so it can help to have a professional kind of walk along and just course correct where needed. So if there's not a state of active failure, there's no need to rip the building up and see if it satisfies modern codes. The only reason that we would need to do that is if there's an increase in load of greater than 5%. And if there's not, then the code says you don't have to make a structural change. If it's a level 3 alteration, some of that language is a little different, but it doesn't mean that if there's a working foundation, regardless of what it is, even if it's what we would even consider to be a foundation, if it's working, there's nothing in the code that says you have to rip it out and redo it or put new foundation elements in there.
Okay, so at this point, I think we should maybe have you continue to reach out to Carrie just to have a conversation with her at least. And if she's just insisting on level 3, then I guess all bets are off. But if she is willing to entertain a level two, and we can maintain the back half of the building. It might be worth keeping that. And see, I mean, right.
It could be that we define. So I've gone every which way you can with all the various building officials on how you define these, because this code is extremely vague and is up for a lot of interpretation. But in a lot of cases that are similar to this, what we ended up doing is considering this a level three alteration limited to the portion of the building that was of its own specific era of construction. So we could potentially define that the rear addition as a separate building, especially if we could demonstrate that it's structurally isolated, and that front portion as its own building, so that the rule of the 50% of work area exceeding, you know, if we exceed 50% of the work area of the building, then it's level three. But if we consider three separate buildings that are attached and structurally isolated from each other, then the rear building would just be its own separate sort of project. Some building officials have been open to that methodology, and it significantly saves the scope of work that's necessary. But again, it all comes down to what the building official decides and how they're going to define it. But ultimately, the building official can't enforce codes that don't exist. So there's a level of boundary that can't be exceeded. A building official can't just say you need to do this because it would make me feel more comfortable. They have to demonstrate that the building code compels them to enforce it.
Gotcha.
But there is some level of leeway in what we're defining as the building and the footprint and the work area.
Would this be something that a phone call from you would suffice, or would it be better to meet Carrie out there?
I think a phone call to start would make a whole lot of sense.
Okay.
And if it needs to be an in-person meeting on site, I think that would be great. I'd be happy to do that. I think we should probably just get an understanding of what codes we're triggering and why, and making sure that everyone's on the same page.
Okay, so Carrie would...
I don't want to run into a situation, or at least I don't want you guys to run into a situation, you know, one that's really common that I see where building officials just get a little uncomfortable with a code they're not too familiar with, and then the scope kind of runs away until you get a brand new building.
When
the code doesn't require it.
Yeah, that's our concern right now. It's snowballing, but I don't know, you guys have any questions?
Well, I guess I'd like to see some written reports that could be on file here with the city, from whoever or whomever.
But continue with reaching out to Carrie,
right?
And get that. Does that work, Sam?
Yeah. I mean, we reach out to Carrie and just write. What I would call an IEDC damage assessment report or modification assessment report, which in our area in Billings, the city has gotten so used to us just defining what the IEDC code is requiring from them that's their requirement now, rather than them showing up and making a call of what needs to be done. They just require the people hired in here to tell them what needs to be done, and they enforce that.
Okay. So, proceed with that?
Yeah, I think we need to get them on the same page and see. And again, it's still going to come down to cost. You know, if we save the front and not the rear, how much is it still going to cost to rebuild?
You mean demo the front and save the back?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's got to always be what's the bottom line of wherever or whatever we end up doing. But could we tear down that front part without affecting the integrity of that back part, Colton?
We had a discussion about it a couple months ago, and I entertained the value. When I had Carrie on site, it was pretty much in level three across the board from what we discussed. But again, we can reach out and get that in concrete or in writing or whatever you guys would need there. We did talk, yeah, we could cut it off right at that, where that steel beam's going across, wall it off. It's just, at that point, do you have to update the plumbing, the electrical, the ADA? You know, there's just, but again, like, if we can get that set in stone, then we can come up with those cost estimates so we know where we're at, instead of just shooting from the hip on it. And then again, does it fit how we want to plan the rest of that site?
Right.
You know, because, and then that gets the architect back on board on layout, parking, doing just an office building. There's.
Well, I think we need to know the answer to this first before we even bring Greg back into this whole discussion.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think we're headed in the right direction if we can get something.
That was just a verbal discussion with me and the state inspector. So.
Okay. Well, if Carrie can talk to Sam, and then if we have it written, she said this is a level 3 all day long, then we know. If she says it's a level 2, we can do this and this. But that's the starting point, I think, is the state inspector, what level we're at.
There's some wiggle room there, too. Like, I've had a lot of cases, especially earlier on in billings, where billing officials were really staunch about something, and then once, you can definitely push, it's their job to demonstrate the code that says that they have to do it that way. And if they can't demonstrate that they're following the code, then they can't enforce it. Which is ultimately why eventually billings just kind of kowtow to just having the engineers decide for the IEPC for them, rather than them saying something and then having us come and say, you actually read this wrong. Here's what it needs to be.
So Carrie just might not know. She may not be too familiar with
that. You know, in my experience, that's more common than you would think. There's a lot of building codes out there. They're all very long. They're all extremely confusing. There's debates about a lot of how to interpret it, this, where, that. And so most of your building officials know a fraction of what it is that they're supposed to be enforcing.
Okay. All right.
What's his opinion on us, like 75% of the building, like the other part that's like crippled?
Wait, say that again?
Like, so not from that steel going the other way, but from the steel going to the north. What's his assessment on that? We're saving, not we're saving.
The front half is really iffy.
Right? I'm just talking about from a liability standpoint. Like, we're both liable at this point.
Oh, he wasn't. Sam, what? So as it currently stands, and with all this support and whatnot in there, is it your assessment that it's not gonna be a problem safety wise for just people walking down the sidewalk right now as it stands?
No, it's not gonna behave any differently than it would have had you not done any of this work.
Okay, so we're okay. Any other questions?
So, Sam, is your opinion we're at level 2 then? Did I understand that? Or
I think there's a much stronger case for a level 2 here than there is for a level 3.
Okay.
I even think there's a potential case, I could potentially make the case that this is really just an ADA with a level 1. Because ADA compliance upgrades do not trigger all the same updates and codes. The code is it's especially written not to punish people who decide to upgrade their building to ADA compliance. So any ADA updates are kind of a freebie upgrade that you don't have to really consider. So if we isolate any changes that are made with respect to complying with ADA requirements, we could potentially knock this down to a more of a level 1.
Okay. All right, well, reach out to her and then you can let me know what your conversation was all about and how that turns out, and then we'd certainly appreciate that.
Yeah, it would really help me too, especially going into a conversation with her, if we want to maybe be more aggressive in the interpretation and try to bring it closer to level 1. If the architect of the plan can identify just the work area that is specific to ADA upgrades, that would be a really helpful visual.
Oh, if we want to shoot for the level 1 you're talking about.
Right.
Cool. So we'd have to get Greg back involved again.
But that'd be the whole front part, though, right?
Yeah, the whole front part was really, the whole ball got rolling because we are not ADA compliant. And so after moving forward with ADA compliant bathrooms, just started you know, it just snowballed into everything needs to be upgraded to be functional for our purposes. Our meeting room is too small, and now you realize when you get bigger bathrooms, now you're taking up more room. You got to start moving things around, and so.
And that's all. Like, if we can demonstrate the decisions that were made with this final plan that were a direct consequence of updating this to meet ADA compliance, some of the things won't work. Like we talked about changing the storefront or the opening of the building, like it'd be hard to consider that an ADA change. So some of the things are going to be more fringe, but that's where if we were to isolate everything, the change in room size, because we have bigger bathrooms, ramps, anything like that, that should fall under its own category. That doesn't trigger any level of alteration.
Okay.
And then anything else, if we get it, that footprint small enough, we'd be closer to a level one, easily a level two.
So are you suggesting that we have that conversation with the architect first before you go to the city or to the inspector?
It would be helpful for me to go to the inspector with a visual that demonstrates how much of this is ADA compliance.
Okay. And if we can't demonstrate that, we can still...
And then the kind of difficult thing after that is just the investigation that's going on. Did that happen as a result of the comments from the inspector or from the building official?
Both inspector and engineer.
Both the inspector. Because,
again, what do you do with the north wall and the west wall? Look how bad they're leaning out. Like, that's going to trigger more than ADA. That's more of a safety concern, I would guess.
Your opinion on the leaning walls was it's not past the center of gravity, correct, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, the center of mass isn't at a point where it's going to get stable, and there's no active cracking or anything that suggests that this is ongoing movement. Unless we have some proof that demonstrates that it used to be a perfectly plumb wall, and now it's a leaning wall, I didn't see any evidence on site that suggested that it would be a risk or potential collapse or unsafe condition.
I would not sign off on that.
Okay, we need to get the...
All right, I guess have that conversation, and then we can move forward from there. Or actually, right. We need to get Greg. We need Greg involved. All right, we'll have to reach out to Greg, and then he can, and if he can demonstrate that...
All I'm looking for is like a really easy overlay on the existing floor plan, same. Everything that is related to ADA green or ADA compliance should have a green shade to it, and everything that's not can be orange. You know, something just really simple and basic. Shouldn't take much time.
Okay.
I think what triggered the state inspector, too, is us having to repair those two walls was a lot of surface, and that's what kicked that into a level three in our just conversation. Is there a matter of repair?
If it's a repair, that would fall under repair of the IEDC. It doesn't fall into alteration. If you have
the cost to
material damage or degradation, you can replace those in kind as long as it doesn't. As long as the damage hasn't damaged more than 30% of the roof or reduced a vertical element of the lateral force resistance system by more than 20%, or reduced the lateral force resisting system capacity by more than 33% are the three triggers that would consider substantial structural damage, which would elevate that to needing to be fully mitigated. And if we're less than substantial structural damage, then the code says just put it back the way it was. If there was no footing underneath of it, just timber sitting on dirt, the code says just put in a new timber sitting under.
Okay. All right, well, I guess I can reach out to Greg and have him see if he can come up with an overlay for you, and then we'll get back to you.
What about
the
Norm building? Norm.
Oh, the Norm building. Do you have any comments about the Norm building, the other building that we looked at?
Yeah, Norm building's in great shape. I don't have any real concerns with that as long as we're not planning on doing any significant alterations to how it's intended to be used for how it's currently being used. handful of age-related cracks around the building. No real significant concerns for any sort of ongoing issues.
Okay.
All right.
All right, is that it? Everybody good?
Council, any questions for it?
All right, Sam, thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet.
Thanks, Sam.
All right, bye.
So I guess with that, do we still want to set up a, I should have asked, no, he's going from the state regulations with his evaluation.
Yes.
And she's a state inspector as well.
She's for our area, yeah.
Okay. So we're going to have to get Carrie and Sam and everybody. And there again, we're back to cost. Is it worth? Because when we were there, he was talking about we had a carbon fiber. Remember?
Yeah.
Sam, and he said that's very
expensive. That's if we're going to get to level three, we would have to do all that stuff. But if we can get by, if there's, you know, with this ADA thing, we can get a level one, then it can just be like for like. You put back what's...
Right. So, but he said something about the facade, too. That's already changed. You know, it was those garage doors. That'll be windows and a door. That'll mm-hmm. be the meeting room. So
yeah, that part wouldn't count towards that. But the rest of it, you know, with doors into the offices, I don't know if those were three-foot doors. I don't recall if they... I don't think they were.
No, the ones existing?
The existing ones that are torn up, those weren't 3 foot doors. That hallway wasn't wide enough going back to the meeting room.
No.
And of course, the bathrooms weren't even bathrooms.
So again, for me, it's what's the cheapest long term solution for us at this point. So do we want to set a public hearing? I think we need to hear from the state inspector first.
I agree.
And get a written report saying this is either level one, we can do the ADA, or it's a level two or a level three, but we need that first.
But I think, well, I think what we need to do is we need to have Greg do this overlay.
Yeah.
Send it to Sam. Sam can put together discussion notes to speak to Carrie.
Okay.
And then explain, because if Carrie isn't super familiar with these kinds of codes, then maybe having... professional like Sam speak to her may help her to go, hey, this is not a three, this is actually a two, or whatever.
Okay.
So, and then we can go from there.
So I guess one of my questions is, is the plan to move it? Do we even have a plan?
Yeah, we have a plan.
So what is it? Is it going to stay where the existing is, or are you going to move it forward if you have to tear that down?
Well, if we tear it down, when we have an option, we can move it forward. Which I would like to do. If we have to build a new one, I'd like to see it out of the street so it's in line with the rest of the...
So you do have a plan for the ones that's there, though?
Yes.
That's what I was just curious. Cause
yeah, we have... Yes, Mike?
Just a point of clarification. If it could be a level one with ADA that changes funding, you can still replace like-to-like, like Lance said. Does that changes if... If the inspector comes through with level three for everything and it's not arguable, that's basically a teardown.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you can't fix things right if it's classified as a one, right?
Correct.
Right.
It just changes the scope of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
And again, it always comes down to the cost.
Right,
Do we patch it up? Do we tear it down, build something new? Do we tear it down, put modulars in? There's several buildings. We've looked at the Mark Norm building, which Sam came and looked at, and then the taxidermy place. So yeah. We have explored a bunch of options, and we've talked about it at other meetings, too. Sorry, Gary. Because Hope, look, that was just 2,000 and some square feet, the building, and the taxidermy building. 2,000 and...
That includes the garage?
That's everything. 2,000?
I just think it's the main building, 2016.
Yeah. So we'd have to add another couple thousand square feet. Anyway, yes, so the answer is we've looked at all these different possibilities. Initially it was ADA compliancy, then Laura Coulter dug into it, you know how that goes, and then...
Which we talked about, I mean...
Yeah.
I wish it would have gone the other way, but it hasn't, so...
Right.
That's where we're at right now, so...
Yeah, it would have been nice if we could have fixed it up, then we'd be done.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what happens.
So does this architect keep billing you for changes, alterations, or?
No.
It's all just in.
Oh, the architect. Greg has donated a ton of time and a ton of money.
That's what I was wondering.
So far.
Yeah, the architect is doing it all pro bono so far.
So far.
He might change his mind.
That's what I was wondering, because you're going to have more ended redoing it. Than
yeah.
I think that would be fairly simple.
Yeah, this would be easy.
Sam obviously will get paid. I don't know the state inspector. That's part of their job.
It's part of the permit that we applied for. It's part of their job.
So, yeah, I think we need to get Greg to do his overlay. You can contact Sam. He can contact Carrie and see what level, because ultimately that will decide what level, what going forward will decide.
What part you can say, what you can't.
But even so, and that's what this guy Sam said. He said, just sell the lots with the building the way it is and buy something else. Yeah, which we never thought about. We talked about tearing it all down, and I don't know if that's viable. But anyway,
I also think you should reach out to the community and see where they want to see the city hall. I mean, this is a once in a lifetime chance that we get an opportunity to redo a city hall. It doesn't happen very often, and I wish you guys wouldn't look at me as your guys' contractor, but more as a business owner who operates in this town. And I would like to see a new city hall downtown. Whether I build it or not, doesn't matter. If you guys want to send it out for rebid, then so be it. Personally, it's across from the library. It's a great location. You already own the land. That's my personal theme. And maybe there needs to be a survey that goes out to the city to see where they'd like to see the city hall grow. I understand that cost is the issue here, but honestly, your cheapest bet is to keep renting if cost is the issue.
Yeah.
But I prefer not to have the city in my building for the next 70 years, obviously. I'd love to see a new city hall.
Right.
So I guess I would just voice my opinion on that and take it from there.
And I agree. Downtown, I think the city hall has to be in the downtown area.
Correct.
So I guess we can wait and hear from Sam and Carrie, and then we can decide, because we were also going to talk about a public hearing, a date and have a public hearing about this, but I think we should get more information before we do have that public hearing. So at this time, I don't think we should set a date for that. It might be 2 weeks, it might be 3 weeks, we don't know. We don't want to put it on the agenda and have everybody show up and say, well, we didn't get the information.
Yeah.
So at this point, we'll just gather information, see what level we're at, what everybody agrees on, have a public hearing, see what people's thoughts and ideas are, and then move forward with whatever decision. Does that sound prudent and reasonable? I mean, we all have ideas about, you know, I think it should be torn down.
I'm not going to put a post back in where there's an existing post. I'm sorry, but...
Goes against.
You're going to find another contractor for that one, so.
He's just giving us what code actually says.
I know, but that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. All right.
But it has been there for 100 years, and it didn't fall over, so.
Yeah. I mean, if he's not worried about it falling over, I mean,
that's kind
if
of
he
point,
wants
though.
To put his signature behind that, that's great.
That's the point? It's been there 100 years? Is that
yeah, so why are we continuing to fix up a 100-year-old thing? You want it to last another 100.
Yeah.
Come on.
And again,
it's had
an opportunity
day.
To do that, yeah. I think, you know.
Right, it is a once in a life.
It doesn't have
generational,
to yeah.
What we want to do and moving forward. But
people aren't rebuilding city halls every 20 years.
No.
You know,
no.
They stand the time.
All right. So we got the engineer report. We will wait and get more information. And then when we have that, we will set a public hearing where people can come voice input about how we move forward with city hall. Okay. Next, street closure for Lighted Parade.
Yes.
Ms.
So it's actually for the winter market part of the Lighted Parade. So there's a great possibility that Schaefer Square might be under construction during the winter market on the 5th of December. So we are asking that we have a meeting tomorrow night. We just need either East 2nd or East 3rd closed. We don't need both, we just need one. But I'm asking for both right now, and then I can confirm one or the other after tomorrow evening and the Christmas committee meeting.
Okay.
And if they're not under construction, we'll do it in Chief Mayor Square just like usual. So
okay.
We just want to have a backup plan.
That's a good idea. And this is something the city does every year. We close the streets.
What did I just miss that first part? You're going to put it on East Second or East Third, what usually goes on?
On Cheaper Square. Yep,
okay.
just for the evening of the parade.
Yep, yep.
And have there are vendors in there and maybe the chili cook-off and all that good stuff, so.
I vote for second.
It does make more sense, honestly, so.
It's
a possibility.
Either one, whatever works best.
Yes, and then I can let you guys know tomorrow night after the meeting or as soon as possible. I can let Hope know what we decided, so.
Council.
So we're not approving a specific street yet?
We can say second or third.
Okay.
Both.
Or both.
Yeah, just say both and we'll probably just do one, if that makes it
one
easier.
One or the other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what was the date again?
December 5th. It's the night of the lighted parade.
Do the fireworks shoot off from one of those locations? I can't remember.
They are on third.
Third, is that the
They're not sure if the fireworks are going to happen this year. So,
I'll go ahead and contact Chris about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion to approve the street closure for the light parade of East 2nd and East 3rd.
Motion has been made to approve the street closure for East 2nd, East 3rd on December 5th for the light parade.
Second the motion.
Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you, Chris.
Do we have to include the times on that?
It'll basically be from, I'm going to say 4 o'clock to 8:30, 9 o'clock latest.
So 4 to 9 just to cover it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. Okay. Solar decorative lighting agreement. Vitality. Who wants Brian or Brian?
Or Laura?
Or Laura, that's right.
I'm the third one.
Well, I can just give a quick overview. So Corey Seitz has been doing most of the legwork on this lighting project. She couldn't be here tonight. So what we're looking at doing, a lot of the funds that would be used for this are coming from the grant that the city of Big Timber received 2 years ago, called a year and a half ago. We're going into budget year two, as of very soon, like this week maybe. So we've got the funds for this. We're looking at putting some decorative lighting, partial funds. We have to raise some other funds too. From the library down to First Street, and then both directions, probably two blocks or so. And then also towards the fairgrounds, so another block there. So we would do decorative lighting, and it's decorative in the fact that we're going to leave the current light in place due to the lumen requirements. Messing with those gets very tricky. So these would just be decorative. They're not for ambient light or anything. So what we need to do is when we apply for our encroachment permit with the state, they said, that's great, we can probably approve this, but you need a sponsor, either a city or a county. Someone that's withstood time, give it more a group that could fizzle out at any time. They can't just allow this to happen and then no one's there to take care of them. So we need some municipal entity to basically submit this encroachment permit. And then in my head, I think our group's thinking is that we would have some sort of agreement with the city to then maintain those lights.
If one got run over.
Correct.
Like
yeah, we would be the ones that would coordinate all that.
Yeah.
They would be solar, so there's no digging into the sidewalks because that opens up a whole another can of worms. And all of our power, I believe, is overhead. There's nothing underground. Some cities, I think, have that, but all of our lights are lit from above. So we'd have to drop the power, so we're not trying to mess with that either. We still need to validate that these lights are going to work because the west side of Maine is very shadowed, especially in the winter. So we're still trying to validate. We're going to use Brian's shop, the quilt shop, I believe, as a test site for what we have one solar light right now.
Right.
So, and we're working with an engineer here locally, Trevor McCullough, that's doing some of the attachments to the sidewalk. So there's a lot that still we need to get through, but we're going through those hoops now.
So are they like lights like Livingston? Kind of in height
lights. Think of it like that.
They're in height lights.
Correct. Something
ten,
like
10 foot tall.
So 10 foot.
Kind of like absorbing
like
that.
Bigfoot. So,
except theirs are all underground. Do you have a thought?
Oh, okay.
They would set up
how
small.
How many are you thinking of putting on a bottom?
Yeah. Three-ish.
Is it four?
Was it five?
It was six or six per side.
So is it per side? Is that what you're doing, or are you alternating?
Yeah, per block, 10-ish.
I believe it's every 54 feet, isn't it?
Yeah, we're not measured, and so they'd be mirrored along McLeod.
Okay.
On both sides, like 50 to 55 feet apart, pending doorways and rooftops, like on
driveways.
Can you have baskets or anything on it?
Correct.
That would be the
banners, large banners, right?
Baskets. Yeah.
And it kind of originated as part of our mission of like trying to draw business downtown and creating that visual line to McLeod to help draw from Town Pump and things like that. And then just the cohesive, you know, experience. So
one of the big things Roger Brooks says is, like when he was driving by, he didn't even know where downtown was, and he like drove by it and was like, oh, there it was. So we're just trying to create a little bit of cohesiveness so that you're kind of getting towards downtown to maybe draw some more eyes and money. I think we want one light, correct?
Yes.
We don't have the
yes.
double. It's just it's a
it's
single.
Single light.
Yeah. Probably facing.
It's like a downshine light?
Yeah.
It is this shaped model is what we're looking at, but rather than the double, it's the single.
Yeah, just to give everybody single light, not a double. But
it's solar. Did you guys reach out to Northwestern at all? Because a lot of times they're willing to, so they don't have to have these power poles on the street.
Yeah,
the
chamber is probably what it's coming down
yeah,
to.
That's
yeah,
what it would be.
The Chamber of Commerce tried to do this like 8 years ago, and I think they were messing with the lights. Maybe you know, Christine.
Yeah,
if you remember.
I mean, we just kind of got stalemated. It just kind of fizzled out because of all the apartments and that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing too is these poles, I don't know that they'll hold the snowflakes. So those larger poles are the ones that currently hold the snowflakes.
Yeah, I put them up. That's why I was just wondering.
Yeah. Yeah. So if we lose
they'll
those,
hold them, but
yeah.
That's why I was just wondering if.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be nice if.
Because I know the city of Livingston reached out to the state and the state funded most of that project.
Oh, interesting.
For the Northwest Energy was glad to get, yeah. So they don't really want the overhead down on main highways. So a lot of times they're willing to step in, and I realize it takes a little bit of concrete work and a little bit of sidewalk work, but
also maybe you do more
it might 10. It might be something. Yeah, well, you probably wouldn't even need 10.
Or you would have doubles.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, but
yeah, no, it's there's a lot that goes into it.
Wasn't there something like because of the state highway, if they replaced and transfer ownership and responsibility or something? Wasn't there something weird? I feel like we hit a stalemate. I think Corey had reached out like 2 years ago at this point.
Yeah. We could,
I don't know if you
yeah,
remember.
We can look
it
up.
We, we do not want to replace the street lights.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just want to add atmosphere, lighting, obtain baskets, and that would be, and I'm going to clarify something. You said the city of Big Timber got this grant.
Sorry, not the
no,
same.
Like
yeah, the Crazy Mountain Collective.
Correct.
We're part of it, and I believe we worked as a past, some kind of thing to make it.
The financial fiscal
yes.
sponsors.
Yes, that. Yes. Okay, I just wanted
we
to clarify.
We're not asking for fiscal sponsorship. We're just
permission.
It's a maintenance agreement. Yeah.
Right. And that's what this encroachment would be. The city would agree to that, and then we would have a separate agreement with Vitality Partners, maybe the Chamber, somebody saying we will be responsible for any repairs. So the city, all we have to do is fill out this encroachment, which Corey said she would do, and we would just have to look at, and then the Vitality Partners and the groups would put this test one up,
mm-hmm.
see how it worked on the shady side, and then if that all worked well, then they would go through and do that. And we would just have this agreement between the city and the Vitality Group saying we are not liable for anything.
And the total number of lights right now proposed is 66.
66.
Amen.
And this is She did fill out the inner parts of this because she had already submitted this. So I think at this point it's whited out in the hopes that to keep it easy. You know, it's just really the contact info and the sign off.
Right.
So she's done the legwork and she'll continue.
Correct.
To it's not municipality. Yep.
Are they
not
going,
pass any work on
are they
city.
Going all the way up to 4th? Or how far up are they going?
To the library, yeah.
Oh, to the library.
Yeah. First door to the library.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So you can go on a block each way then on there.
And then on the loop, they'd be a little more dispersed and not as mirrored. They might, like, alternate then just to... Because there's already so many existing lights there, too.
So you say these are solar, but where's the panels?
They're
integrated
into the lights. So you don't even really see them. It's
the
top.
Shade, basically.
It's a dome-shaped light, and it's inside of that. So
okay,
it's not like a separate panel sitting on it.
Okay, so you had mentioned wiring coming from something.
No. Currently, the lights downtown
right.
are all wired above.
Right.
We're not messing with those.
Right, you don't need...
We might still look into it just because it is probably good to reach out to Northwestern to see maybe there's some options there, but currently our plan is to just do solar, not mess with that wiring. And no wiring's needed. They just need to be anchored to the sidewalk appropriately and from an engineer standpoint.
Okay, and then I think I heard you say you're looking to the city kind of as a sponsor to get this going, but then maintenance-wise you're looking to the city to... replace these when they're broken.
No, it's all opposite of that.
Yeah.
So the state department, the DOT requires that you have a municipality sign on with you to do this sort of encroachment. That's why we need you guys to submit the application. Corey will do all the work, but you guys officially submit it. And then you subsequently sign an agreement with us to say, hey, even though you signed up for this thing and you technically, the state requires you to, we're here to do that. So it's a technicality to have you guys submit the application and then subsequently sign an agreement with us. Even though we tried to do it directly, they said you can't do that.
Yeah, Corey did try. So we'd be off the hook for any
So then they would reassume ownership of the lights.
Correct.
Is essentially what you're doing.
Yeah. Liability, repair, maintenance, anything would be totally not the city.
How big is this pedestal?
Pedestal? What would you say, like,
12 inches diameter? I think they had a 2 foot.
Yeah.
Either an 18 inch or a 2 foot pad.
It's 3 square. Yeah. So where would these be located on all the sidewalks? Right next to the curb or?
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Set in a little bit
distance.
Just for all the big bumpers that
right.
Yeah.
Pull in downtown.
Yeah, that's kind of. I was kind of wondering about that. How once you get them pushed in, how much we're gonna have issues with wheelchairs and other things going down the sidewalk.
And that's where part of the encroachment permit. They review all that. So we don't have approval to put them anywhere quite yet. This would dictate where we put them.
Okay.
And we have to map out specifically for them, and we already kind of did on an overlay. Where we're planning on putting them. So I imagine someone shows up and we actually walk the street with them at some point.
We did preliminary, but well, it'll have to be refined way more precisely once we get all the specs from, you know, post-approval.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have you talked to the business owners up and down McLeod and gotten their input on this?
Who was that?
Have you talked to business owners up and down McLeod to get their input on whether or not they want in front of their buildings?
I guess we haven't talked to everybody, but that'll certainly be part of our... We're certainly not going to force it down anybody's throat, for sure.
I think it'd be a good idea.
Someone said absolutely not. You know, the quilt shop or, you know, Mike said...
Mike?
Not in front of my building. Like, we could adjust the plan a little bit.
So far, 2 business owners offered to buy the lights in front of their business.
Okay.
I mean, the carrier of the 2 business, or you and somebody else?
No. Actually, the Graham.
The Graham.
And the quilt shop. And we need some antenna.
So basically, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's a great way to have something that people can see. We have a sample. Go look at such and such spot. You can see what they look like, and then other store owners can go, hey, I really like that. That looks great. Let's put that in. Or
they will be the first ones we'll approach once we see if we even can.
move forward is talking to the business owners and giving the opportunity to.
Most of the business owners have had the opportunity to be part of this.
Yeah.
From the get-go, so.
A lot of them participated in the Roger Brooks presentation, right. So they know that downtown beautification has been on.
So this is
and
basically.
I think he emerged from like a business
just go see
meeting,
the
right?
Engineer, right?
Yeah. So this is just basically to start the ball rolling. The city would.
So that we can put the test light up.
So you can put the test light, and then they will come, encroachment, blah, 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 blah. And they say, yeah, it works, or no, it doesn't. If all the business owners are against it,
right.
But it's part of the downtown beautification and the directing of traffic that
it should help.
And, yeah,
give
the feel of downtown.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion then that we approve the solar decorative lighting agreement. From McLeod Street to First Avenue, I guess that's what we're looking at.
And on First, okay. Motion has been made to approve the solar decorative lighting agreement on McLeod and First Avenue.
I'll second that motion.
Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right.
We look forward to be getting with, I guess, Hope and.
Yeah.
And then after that, we can figure out what that agreement looks like.
Right. And we'll have to have Jim ultimately look through that agreement and all that. But let's get the ball rolling and then see what the MVP says. And,
yep.
All righty. All right. Next up, investment account options. Where do you want to put our money? You all have the printout from the different financial institutions. The different rates.
Investment options.
I think so.
I believe they all are.
Yes.
Represented. And Hope, because of the financial policy we do have, Hope does this on a rolling basis where they come due. This is a big chunk. So, and she just contacted them and said, what can you do? We're not playing them off each other. We're not trying to get into a bidding necessarily. Just throw it out there and see which one comes up with the best option and which one the council thinks we should move forward with.
Hope, how much work is it? Just say if we went with the highest paying one, this 3-month CD, would that be like a, you're constantly going in and making these changes? Just to get it, you know, 0.07% higher interest.
It's just paperwork.
Right, but I mean, when we total up all the quantities of these things, is that just kind of a pain?
Yeah, but usually, I've never done a 3-month.
Right.
I think the shortest I've ever done might have been a 6-month, but usually I do 9 to 12. Maybe 13 months. Sometimes they have like a 13-month special.
Sure.
Sometimes it's better to get, I think, a good rate at a 12-month because if you do a 3-month, you never know.
What's going to happen next?
Right. Yeah, if they can drop, say it might drop.
Yeah.
So the Feds, they lower that interest rate again. So they're all real similar. It's just which one we decide to go with.
Who are we with right now?
Pardon?
Who are we with?
So the money's in a public funds account with Opportunity Bank. And so. Brandy offered, we were at a 5% when we started the account, which is why we did it, because it was higher than our CDs. But it's dropped down to 3%. So Brandy said they would take that and go up to 3.75. We could leave it there. But again, there's no guarantee how long that rate will last, because if the Fed rate drops, then it's going to
drop.
Yep. Whereas CDs, you'll have a set rate for.
Yeah.
Citizens. 9 months at 3.75.
I don't want to go 3 months or 5 months. It's just that's two. There's a 10 months for 3.6.
Personally, I would like it divided up between the four banks if they're willing to, if they want that business. They're all taxpayers within the city.
Well, we do have accounts with all of them, except American. And we've reached out to America before. This is the first time they've actually replied. So. Yeah, but all the other ones we have existing CDs with.
Yeah, I realize that.
So you want to take that 1.5 and divide that into four? Is that what you're...
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, there's only three.
Hurry back.
Yeah, them rates I wouldn't even fool with.
Yeah.
What's the dollar amount you guys are...
1.5 million. That would be a lot of work, but...
Did Brandy say that the rate would drop equally with the amount that the Fed drops their rate? So it'd go to 3.5 potentially in December?
So right now the Fed rate's at 4, and we, for whatever reason, we're at what's called the Fed, what you call it, the federal funds lower bound rate. So if the Fed's at 4, we're at 3. So she's willing to bump that up to 3.75, so we're only a quarter percentage below the Fed rate.
So it wouldn't move with...
Yeah, okay. So whatever the Fed rate is will be a quarter percent.
So you can assume that'd be 3.5 in December, early December.
Yeah, 3.2.
And then, early next year it could be 3.25.
Yeah.
If you want to use that as a bearing for other, for your decision on...
Yeah, but we don't know. The
Certainly,
bottom line
no.
is we don't know when the Fed rate will be.
No, but just kind of...
Right.
I mean, it was
as
great
a comparing.
When
yeah,
we're
getting four and a quarter and five.
This last year, it's just gone. So,
we should have been. Council of Justice has suggested dividing that into four parts and putting it in all four institutions.
For their sake, you're saying? To support them or their being the.
Well, I realize there's variations in those return rates. But,
so like a 6 month at American and 9 month or something.
Well, even at 12 month at American and 13 month at Citizens or 10 month at
I like that sentiment, Justin. I think we should go for the highest rate generally so that we get the best return on that.
Yeah, fund. I realize we have to pay fiduciaries.
I get that. It'd be great if they all were at 3.75, that we could spread any. But, you know, I see where you're coming from in the sentiment, but that we'd be getting less on two, and it's entirely up to council. Either way, I'm fine with supporting them.
3.75 for 9 months at Citizen.
Seems to be
the best one.
Yeah.
What do you think, Carrie?
These guys are mulling. Public?
Think
the best rate or split it up?
Should,
yes, Michael.
Like the higher,
they're all
ones, but
in
some
business.
Into the
yeah.
longer ones.
So whoever's got the best rate right now, go to the other three and say,
bank or
we will divide this equally if you can match this.
I mean, I think this.
Well, that's kind of where we didn't want to go,
but I mean, if
right,
and they might say
rate,
no, so you're in two banks or you're in one.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
I mean, give them the opportunity. I guess that would be mine.
Well, you can't hear
I'd go for the best rate, so either way.
I'm thinking put half of it.
Get all three banks to agree with
like the 6 month. Put half of it, like the 6 month at 3.75, or at the 9 month at Citizens, but also put half in a longer term.
Sure.
I mean, I don't care. The 12 months at Citizens or at American, but at least if the rate in 12 months is 2%, we're still making, you know, 1.35 or 1.5% more than what, you know, their rate is.
Just do half and half at Citizens Bank.
I don't care about spreading it, but I think we should get return
yes.
on our
money.
I kind of would like to have the council consider paying down some debt instead of locking the money up. We've got a $2 million outstanding loan on the sewer and a $3 million approximately on the water. Last meeting, Hope said, you've got $7.7 million in the bank. Ideal if you could pay one or the other off. You could lower the rates to the taxpayers for the services, either water or sewer. I think most folks would prefer to have those paid off. You save about, I think on the sewer it's $100,000 a year. On the water it's $150,000 a year if you do the amortization. So before you lock that money up, I'd like to hear a discussion about servicing current debt, maybe getting rid of some debt. You've got great cash flow, $7.7 million. That's a lot of money to hold on to, and especially a low interest rate.
Hope, would you like to?
Well, sure. we can't pay off either one of those loans with the money that we have, because the money is designated to certain funds, so you can only use those funds for certain things. But in our water account, we have a little over $2 million. We certainly wouldn't be able, we could pay more towards the principal, which we talked about when we did the budget, but we don't have enough in our water or sewer account to completely
wipe
out the
debt. I still, given the fact that you're sitting on that amount of cash, paying down just means, it just eventually means that the rates can eventually drop once you get rid of that debt. That's what I would hope for. City would work toward, especially with as good of a cash flow as you have. And I think when we started the water project, I think Great West, one of the issues was for the water rates. During the initial meetings, there wasn't a reserve account for the water enterprise fund, and they made the statement that they would like to see these reserve accounts to hover around 5%. I think once the reserve accounts hit those, I think they should, you guys shouldn't grow them anymore. You should put the excess dollars toward debt service, just my opinion.
Okay,
but just getting a big pile of cash that's not productive and then still charging the taxpayers some of the highest rates in the area for water and sewer. And
that's not true, AJ, but we'll let that go. We're smack dab in the middle, but
how much of that $1.5 million that we're talking about put in one of these CDs can be used to service debt?
To service what?
And not to pay down debt in any capacity.
Well, we have $2.1 million in our water fund, so you can decide.
We could use that.
And so when we did the budget.
But that's outside of the 1.5 we're discussing here.
All the cities, that 1.5 isn't designated to anything specific. All the city's money is together and then divided among the funds. The cities, we have two or three CDs that are specifically for certain things. Other than that, all the city's money is pooled together.
So we can take this 1.5 million. Instead of putting in a CD, we could actually pay down some of our loan.
We would have to do a budget amendment, but you could.
What's the size?
What's the interest?
What's the size of that debt, I guess?
Which one?
Yeah. It's either.
I mean,
yeah. Which one are you looking to pay down?
The sewer's at 2 and the water's at 3. Hope just sent me the amortization schedule. Pretty close.
Yeah, so if you just pay down a portion of your debt, it's still going to be the same every month. I mean, it'll pay off in 2035 instead of 2045, maybe, but it's not going to help you with it from a debt service standpoint. Your interest payment per year might go down, but your cash flow amount will still be the same.
So, council, you want to table this?
Well, I don't think we should wait, because I think...
Pardon?
I don't think we should wait in case things drop. I think we should... do you know off the top of your head what the interest rates on our loans are? They're like
2.5%.
Oh,
oh, Jesus.
So to me, it makes sense to invest at a higher rate.
That conversation's moot.
That's what I was asking, what the interest is on that.
If you can earn more than you're paying, that's an arbitrage opportunity.
Okay. So
you should borrow more.
Yeah, no doubt. You should.
Pay debt.
I say we do some 6 month and some 12 or 13 months at the highest rates that we can get.
And that would be, which we have to state that.
Well, we can do 9 months at 3.75.
Yeah.
At Citizens.
9-12.
Yeah. And then, I mean, they've got the 3.5 at 13 months. So.
Yeah, I think we just split it there.
I mean, it's all been at Opportunity, correct?
It's all been at... This
1.5
has been an opportunity.
Well.
I think we should do Citizens.
Yeah,
it's
the Citizens.
Half
and half.
So, 3.7.
5 months,
Citizens. And the 13 months. All of it at Citizens, split between the 9 month and the 13 month.
You what? You only want two CDs?
No, I mean, it's a. What's easier for you to do?
I do what you guys decide.
I mean, I know I see that you do like six with staggering maturity dates, but that's
what was suggested at the last meeting.
Oh.
To stagger them.
Yeah. I don't know. I say to split it in half.
So 750 at 9 months and 750 at 13 months?
Yeah.
But now we have 11 CDs at Sky. We have six CDs at Opportunity and one at Citizens.
Give them some more business.
And so we don't, most of ours are somewhere between $1,000 and $250,000. We have a few that are at $300,000 or $400,000.
Do you think it's too much to put?
I don't know. I think the reason it was done this way is so that if the city had an emergency, he would have to tap into all that money to purchase.
Okay. Well, then I guess... But are you making the same amount of money? So it's
yeah.
Like, yeah, you are.
So if we did 250, 250, 250, and then 250, 250, 250.
You're still making
so
the same...
So six rate. CDs at the same rate, correct?
Okay. Yeah. And that's it. That'd be fine.
Yeah. And do them all at Citizens.
I mean, I think that makes the most sense right now.
Mm-hmm. Where?
I mean,
Citizens.
Okay.
Do we have a motion? What was their rate?
3.75 for 9 months.
For 9 months. 3.8 was 5 basis points higher, but just for 5 months.
We have a motion.
Did you make a motion?
I do have another question.
Yeah.
There are other CDs at Opportunity and Sky, though, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they already have them.
Yeah. And there's only one. We only have one currently at Citizens, so we'll be getting a little more of that.
All right. Mr. Mayor, I make a motion to create... three CDs at 3.75% for 9 months at Citizens, and three CDs at the 3.5% at 13 months at Citizens, at $250,000
per CD. Motion has been made to, I'll just say as stated.
I'll second the motion.
Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Thank you, Perry.
have to have some power to at some point. All right, approved claims for the second half of September. Second half of September 2025.
I'll second the motion.
Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right, public comment, anything that was not on the agenda tonight?
So I'll give you guys an update on the Montana Main Street program. We had a board meeting today for the chamber. They are looking for us to sign our continued application with them, which they now apply every year. Not for approval, but just for renewal. And they came back with some, like 10 different things now we have to do, which is more than just the quarterly report that we were approved, the chamber approved for me to do every year, or every quarter. So we met as a board today. We discussed some of the things that the chamber could do. We're gonna go back to the collective and have a discussion with Melanie and Paige as to how this all works, and some of the requirements are like a brick and mortar place. We don't know if the visitor center will qualify for that. So when I know more information, I will come back and give you an update. We're just kind of at this point kind of narrowing everything down. I did call Mickey today, who's the administrator, to ask her if the visitor center would qualify as that. But they're pretty picky about it being in our corridor, which is basically McLeod Street. So we'll get some more answers and I will come back to you with information.
Thank you, Chris. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Third and final time. All right. Council concerns. Nothing? Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Surprisingly, Councilor Wohler has made a motion to adjourn this meeting.
I'll second that.
Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you, everybody.
Somebody has to do it.
You always get a big smile when you do it, and I like that.